Or it could be less. I met with Chief Collins last week about the licensing.
That has to happen.
And he's on top of that.
Yeah, he's aware of that because he was at the meeting.
He's ready to go and he's got some help.
I saw him mention it and he said he had had a conversation.
But my question was, do you think that through the levy processes, the election processes, it could be done within two? Because if we don't set a time frame.
You know what? No, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think they want one building that houses everything, and I don't think they're going to get that in 2 years.
So I talked to Norvin on that, and he says, look, it's like another station.
Yes, it is.
He said, you know, when I talked to my board, I said, look, we've got six stations already.
Right.
We can now have seven.
Right.
The only challenge that I think that brings to the table is that if you don't combine EMS and fire together at an operational level, then you can't have the efficiency.
Right.
But I said, okay, so move management to that freaking, you know, Jiffy Loop and run operations out of, you know, your main building and so forth.
Right.
And so
I think they have some decisions to make in that regard, but I think they need to either expand the fire hall or something.
But
it would be integrated before that happens.
But yes, they could, because they could use it as another station. Mm-hmm. So my point is if we don't put, I felt if we didn't put a timeline of when we think it should be done, then this thing could end up like was in the annex, or it was in the integration of the city and the county. The annex was going to happen 10 years ago, mm-hmm. 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and whatever.
And 3 years from now, and 5 years from now.
Yeah, and so
I think you have to define what integration is then.
Yeah.
What do you mean by it should be complete?
In one organization under one leadership.
Oh, well, that's easy.
So you don't need to include the town of Freddie
Harbor. They could do that in a year.
The town of Freddie Harbor is only involved because of the annexation process.
Yeah, they're not actually.
I would say 2 years or less.
I would say less than 2 years. Yeah. If you don't care about the building physically,
well, so within the next 2 years, this would be done.
You can do it this fall if you want.
Yeah, you could do it by the end of the year if you only need to get one organization.
So let me ask you, what do we recommend? So, I mean, that's what I wanted to throw out is, do we recommend a time frame to get it done? And if you guys want to shorten it to 1 year, I'll put one down.
How about by the end of next year? By the end of, what is next year, 2020?
Okay.
That gives them more than 18 months. If they can't do it in more than 18 months, somebody's dragging their feet. As long as you don't require that they roll out of the same house.
No. It is
because
one organization.
That's going to happen by the end of next year.
Under one leadership. They have to.
It could.
Yeah.
You take the ladder truck, which right now we're not using and not responding out of, and you back an aid unit in there and you're done.
That's their decision.
Okay.
I just wanted it under one organization.
Yeah,
and
yeah, but
one
that isn't the way it's going.
I understand.
They're not going to consider that complete integration. If you define integration to be.
Yeah, you can put an ambulance in that fire station.
Yeah, no, you could easily make that. That's why I say that it's this year probably you could implement.
Because I was writing.
You could do the whole integration except for the fire hall expansion or whatever it's going to be in this year, if you felt like it, if you wanted to. You could. So, yes.
Okay.
I'd give them generously by the end of calendar year 2020.
Got it.
And that's fine with me. They have a problem with that, it'll be interesting.
And the reason that I wanted to do into one organization under one leadership is so that they could not, even though we believe that they can't contract easily because of licensures and everything, it wouldn't run in some kind of
hybrid.
Don't do a hybrid model.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not our recommendation.
We don't recommend
that. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would concur.
Rick, are you committed to particularly to the order of these benefits?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, they probably need to be reordered once
I figure it all. Has a recommendation.
All
differs.
Yeah. I have another thought I'd like to put out on the table. This is a strong enough structure, this document, together with this executive structure, that as I go through reading the parts that we've all been working on, I'm going to be asking myself, well, how does this fit? How does the revenue sector...
Does this reflect the recommendations as we've written?
Fit with this. And then this becomes the basic organization of the document. Are you okay with the idea?
Sure.
Mark, is that good?
Well, if I'm going to do a recommendation, I want my conditions underneath the recommendation. I think the conditions have to be underneath the recommendation, then your benefits come in. Because those conditions...
So you're suggesting that...
The recommendation has to go up. If we're going to, I mean, otherwise, if...
I'm sorry, Mark, what are you saying?
It's a two-step process. I mean, I sort of see what you're saying, Mark. Right. Thanks.
So this section needs
the conditions
to move
of the
under,
yes.
under, right at this. So these absolute conditions need to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So benefits moves down?
Yeah.
Benefits moves down.
That's, I think, all
it becomes a descriptive.
And I think that's in the category of what Karen was getting at. We might want to rearrange this.
And then benefits would be then concerns. So it would... I mean, this, I couldn't come up with anything, so I just put it in there because I wanted to discuss it with you as a non... So this was going to be a recommendations that are non-absolute, you know, that we are just throwing out there, but we can take that out.
Yeah, I don't think you need that.
Very good.
Because I think in the body of the
parts of the text,
we'll get into all the other options that they could choose to do and why we maybe recommend this instead of that.
Yes.
And I have more implementation considerations because I wanted to do personnel, assets, you know, I did capital budget and that kind of stuff because I believe that budgets and those kinds of things for you guys to review by Sunday. So I wanted to expand this.
Yeah. But we need to see that.
Yeah.
Also, I saw that there wasn't anything in there yet about messaging, and you guys talked about that a few times. Yeah, I don't care whether it's there or not, but you guys have talked about it, so I wanted to mention it.
I think at our last meeting, we kind of discussed the issue that most of the messaging-related issues are going to be up to the elected officials involved in implementing this. I mean, it's not...
the only thing we could say is that it's important. We may not want to make very specific messaging.
Does this sound any good? I put down under the annex, a plan should be developed to encourage and support the town of Friday Harbor residents moving under the levy of EMS and fire. I can expand that, but that was my messaging thing. It's a message has to be developed that encourages them. So whatever.
There's a place in the CAG process article.
That's fine.
If you don't do it well, it's not going to work at all.
Yeah, the CAG process is probably where it belongs.
And if you don't do it well, this is what it means to you.
Well, then you'll pull some of these things out.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Great.
It just needs to be stated in not much detail that it has to happen. It's important.
Yeah, and I almost see it as being more about constituent engagement or you know what I mean? Because messaging always sounds like selling. To me,
yes,
I get a little,
actually,
as a political consultant,
We have to twist our arms.
Yeah,
there was a statement I changed that you had written that said the public could be sold on this or something.
Share,
I said, no, you can't say that.
Stakeholders,
we're not saying that. We're not going to sell the public.
If I had written that, that would have been bad judgment.
Well, it snuck in there somehow. You may not have been the one who wrote it, but it was in there, and I know I didn't write it, so I just kind of went in. No, we're not going to sell this to the public.
I'm not saying I never have bad judgment. I'm just saying if I wrote that,
it could have been somebody
judgment.
Else. No, I don't know where it came from, but it hit me just the way Chuck was saying. You don't really want that to sound like you're selling too hard.
Yeah. I'm going to bring up one other thing, which is minor and yet not minor. In the levies chapter, the discussion of the sales tax in the town contains some errors, an error or two, and it's enough to really make your head spin. So I got from Eileen.
Yeah, we were coming down on the ferry today.
The real true facts of the matter.
We're on the same boat.
We need to change some numbers and clean up that explanation if we're going to continue to carry it.
Yeah, it's got some pretty obscure stuff in it.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Going back to something Mark brought up a few minutes ago, managing EMS monies, somebody asked you in the meeting, how we're going to justify this being under the fire levy alone. Medic 1 in Bellingham, Medic 1 in Seattle, and Skagit now, they all are under fire, but they have a separate EMS levy.
Yeah. And don't you remember that in 1994, the reason EMS split off from the fire department was that the fire department wasn't giving them the money that they thought they should have. Mm-hmm. And that's history, and a lot of people know about it.
But there'll be one department. So that this is my whole...
Yeah, our point of integration here.
It's the money. Yes. It's the money. Guys.
But it's...
But did they do that because the fire was
at
its maximum
limit,
and so they needed more money through EMS? That's
you split it into Skagit, or
yeah, and because what I heard George say was we had enough depth to be able to have one levy and have enough money. But do the places that have two, do they have enough depth, or the reason? They would have enough depth to even consolidate, mm-hmm. and not be close to.
But those are largely bigger departments than us in any respect. And when you look at comparable like Orcas, you don't see that.
One of the reasons that I think one of the benefits of having a separate EMS levy is they can rerun it every 6 years or whatever, so they can reset the amount above.
You can go back to 50
so
cents or whatever.
You get rid of the 1% cap, which is what hamstrings some organizations long term.
There's a messaging issue in that, too. Historically, here, the EMS levy has been used by the voters to disapprove of the management of EMS, and people remember that. And if you have the chance to, if you're asked for a levy lift to the fire department levy, in order to pay for EMS, some people are going to say, well, we don't trust EMS, basically. We want those funds separated out and accounted for separately. And that wouldn't happen if there were a levy lift. So it's one of the arguments for going levy lift first, but then in a year or two or three, going to a separate EMS levy.
And my real question to those separate levies is, do they have a separate accounting?
They have to keep the funds separately, yes.
So they have a separate cost. Yeah. Because that was actually one of the concerns
you spend the money
that,
out of the
that
same
one of the councilmen brought up is this. So in the concern section under the financial side that's what I was trying to get, the financial identity that commingled funds becomes... Could be.
It's not an issue.
It's not an issue because they can't do it.
So
it was cleaned up that they can't do that.
It's very clear that you can't. Miley made that point when you asked, or whoever, somebody asked.
MRSC says that.
Oh, you missed that one.
Yes.
MRS, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes?
Go.
MRSC says that 6 and 10 year levies aren't subject to separate accounting rules. Maybe they mean in some specific conditions.
I can't imagine when.
It's on there twice, both in a chart and in the text. Permanent levies do require separate accounting. That's just what it says. I mean, we account separately for EMS, but...
Right.
I think the commissioner certainly would want to know each of those budget lines and understand them, because as you're absorbing a new operation within your responsibility.
You do it with your accountant. Eden Software allows you to
they do it.
You
now.
Have
yeah.
fire
with
operations, you have EMS operations, and you have your administration.
Yeah.
And so you could see it right now. If we're concerned, we could tell them they need to set up their budget so they can track fire operations.
I was just going to ask you, do we want to make that a condition?
I could be wrong, but I think they also have a separate capital fund.
They do.
They do.
So there's no reason why this is no different than what's done already.
Yeah,
it makes it
difficult, because then the reality is you have to proportion administration, because if you have one chief, how much gets allocated to EMS, how much gets allocated to fire. If you have EMT and fire people, how much gets allocated to... So
you do it based on run call. You do it on the run.
There are ways...
It still has to be done.
But it has to be done.
And it
can be done.
And then you have to have duplicate line items for chief, duplicate line items for all the personnel in the budgets. because they're, you're,
because the percentage of them are going to appear in both.
I'm not going to suggest it can't be done. It is a lot more difficult in your daily operations to do that. So that's why my question was, are they really running separate budgets, separate operational?
Yeah, well, but in both areas, like Bellingham is 29.5 cents per thousand for EMS. The county collects it, and then they distribute it to the five different fire stations.
And the fire stations are using their fire levy to also pay for EMS operations. Right. No
some,
question.
Yes, right. Some fraction no of it is also funded by fire.
Yeah. So, the real question then is that in the absolute, one of the absolutes, do we want them to run separate budgets to account for fire and EMS?
To what end? And what are you trying to get at with it?
Just what we've spoken about, to know that dollars are being at least proportionally given to both areas.
But again, now you're suggesting that they're separate entities within the...
No, I'm just going by what we've been just discussing.
Mark makes a good point. To me, what are you going to do differently if you find out it's not?
You got to take the stuff from the 90s and say, you know what, there was screwed up management from the get-go, way back when, to have that happen. And so, if again, I go back to, if we don't think that management can run this and run an operation and provide the emergency services, I'm saying emergency service, which includes fire and an EMS, and we're so concerned about how they're going to provide the service and where the money's going to go, if we have those concerns, then I think we say, do not merge.
You know, in our recommendations, so, we spent a lot of time focused on the idea that we're going to assemble metrics for measurements. Mm-hmm. We're going to measure success on medical outcomes, response times, and response times being broad. To me, that's the measurement. The way the money flows, mm-hmm. if those goals are being achieved and we're not losing anywhere, right. We've accomplished our goal.
Well, and to me, quite frankly, separate financial accounting is one huge metric, because then you know exactly what you're applying towards EMS and you're applying towards. So when you
EMS look, is going to get the bigger proportion of the funding, yeah. Hands down. If you look at the run calls for fire,
yeah, here's the volume of calls.
The fire is running EMS calls now. They're already going. It's not being captured by the current EMS.
So the answer is they will be spending more on EMS than the current levy because it's going to combine
but
on fire.
But my point is that it's a metric that you can't, if you don't isolate it, you can't measure it. If you consolidate it, it is just one budget and you don't know. And again, I'm going back to, are we suggesting one levy or two levies? Which is where the discussion was, a separate EMS levy, which then turned into, well, maybe you have to run separate budgets or you don't.
So Mark still asked the right question. If the fire district after the lid lift is running a levy rate of, say, a dollar,
mm-hmm.
and 40 cents of it goes to EMS and 60 cents goes to fire, or vice versa, what difference does it make?
Only in that if at the end of the day, the amounts get so egregious in the tax base that
they start bumping against the $1.50 limit.
Yeah, or at least they start bumping against what the residents feel is realistic. Then where do you come back and say, yes, it's being proportionally utilized right? And so, in other words, what's the metric for them to measure for us to appreciate that monies are being allocated in the right thing, just like they're responding to the right place.
It goes back to your metrics. If they're meeting the metrics, then they're providing the service that the citizens expect. And if they do a lid lift on the fire levy, if they want more money, they're going to go back to the voters and say, we need more money to do X, Y, Z, whatever the case may be, and make that case. So I don't. I guess I'm trying to figure out what your concern is.
Yeah, and I'm a little.
I'm not. I don't have a concern.
Okay.
This has all been generated off of having two levies.
Yeah. I don't think we need to have two levies. I think we have one. We have a fire levy. We do a lid.
There's a concern brought up earlier tonight of accountability of the two budgets.
And there are people out there that have brought that to me.
Right.
That they're concerned about. Have not being able to, in fact, it's one of the county commissioners as well has said it, they're afraid that how do you measure how do you measure effectiveness if you can't, if you don't have the data to say that it is? And so the concern was, is more going to for fire disproportionately to the number of calls? If you don't know what you're spending, you don't know how to measure that, other than what's just all rolled up into one.
So,
because you'd have to have, you know, of a $2 million budget, let's say, if you don't know that 1.6 is going to EMS and 4 is going to, and there's 1,200 calls here and 200 calls here, there's no...
But you're not going to get the... It's going to be calls for one organization.
Yeah,
we're having one organization now, and they're going to have one set of total call volumes, and they're going to split them out by... Here we're fire, here we're MVAs, here we're EMS only or whatnot.
And
so we're going to have all those metrics.
Right.
We're going to have patient outcomes. What we're saying is we're going to measure your success by time out the door, time on scene, patient outcomes, so on and so forth. So that's our recommendation. If we're not achieving those things, the organization is failing. And so...
can you do it at a more reasonable value?
How about
Orkus's budgets? No, they're together. And
they're all
that's what surprised me, is because when you said that they run separate budgets, mm-hmm. separate accounting, it surprises me, because I haven't seen most organizations that are integrated like this run separate. I've only seen them consolidate.
But if I go back to your original premise, Rick, this to me is, we're saying fire and EMS. I'm saying emergency services. And so I'm saying that we are creating an emergency services department that is doing fire and EMS services, whatever the case may be, or EMS and fire, whatever you want to call it. That is one organization. We're saying that we expect you to have some key performance indicators, some metrics, and, you know, here are some of the things we want to see. And you need to run your budget. The vast majority of the calls are going to be EMS. And so, you know, I think the history that EMS got pissed in the past and said, you guys didn't treat us well, so we're going to leave and go somewhere else. If we're concerned about that, then we shouldn't be making the recommendation. Again, you're creating, and this is, I guess, my feeling as a department director, you're creating one department. That department is responsible for the emergency services on this island, whether it's fire or EMS, and they need to support that across the board. And I don't know why, what happened in the past, I couldn't tell you. But to me, it was...
We could spend another meeting on that, Mark.
Yeah. But it was piss poor leadership, and you had people who...
I'll tell you what, we'll bring it right to a close. Keep it one.
Yeah. In addition to the metrics issue, one of the things that we're adding to make sure that we've got a quality control process that our decisions be implemented and provide opportunities for other people to serve, both as an elected official, but from a transparency standpoint and an equity of services standpoint, that's the good thing about incorporating the town. Dick, did you want to jump in?
Can I make an observation? Earlier in this meeting, you guys had a little discussion that worried me, because it sounded like you were saying, let's not get too specific in our recommendations. I've been attending hospital district meetings regularly since summer of 2015. I've been attending fire commissions sporadically for the past year. I never hear discussion at any of those meetings in the kind of depth you guys go into. I think if you want this thing to work, you need to give them as much specificity in your recommendations. They're still just recommendations. You can't tell them what to do. But give them as much specificity as possible. Because you put those eight people in a room, and there's going to be nine different opinions about how to go about this. If you have considerable specificity, the public who is interested in this can say, why aren't you doing this? These guys put a lot of thought into that, and it makes a hell of a lot of sense. Why aren't you paying attention? Please don't leave it too open.
Yeah.
This thing will all go to hell, I guarantee you.
Don't worry, this thing's like 60 pages.
Dick has too much experience with this. Yeah, the one thing I would say, Rick, is every time there's a response to anything, a firefighter and an EMT and a paramedic are going to roll because they're the same people. So why should we split them up and try to decide, well, that 40% or 30% or 60% or something was a fire guy, and this 30 or 40 or whatever percent was an EMS guy? It's the same organization, they're the same people, and they're rolling rigs owned by the same organization. Separating it doesn't buy a lot unless there's a management reason to say, for some reason, that we should spend more money on rolling stock for this outfit doing ambulances than that outfit doing fire.
This whole thing, though, is sort of intellectual in nature. In practical terms, an EMS levy is a new levy. You need a supermajority. You need validation.
Well, that's true. You also avoid the validation problem if you do a lid lift.
There's that. Yeah, if you want to be separate,
that's another issue.
You've got to have 60% turnout.
Make it easy on yourself. Win the election by doing a lid lift. Rather than requiring a new EMS levy, which requires 60%.
So just in practical terms, it makes a lot more sense.
So there's that.
I mean, I'm all for EMS levies. We have one. But, I mean, just in practical terms, if you know what you want one. But
I mean, if we want to make a recommendation that they track their expenditures separately, I'm fine with that. It's easily done. I mean, they can easily do it. They can just say, if you're on an EMS call, you put it to these lines. If you're on a fire call, you put it to these lines. And if you're on anything else, guess.
I guess the question is what do they do with the information?
Yeah. And I put down metrics and key performance indicators should establish for financial, managerial, and operational oversight. In my estimation, running, if I'm a manager, okay, you know, we had 300 bases. Every base had its own budget. And I knew that that was a loss leader, and this one was a high profitability. You're looking at a fee-for-service side, so EMS actually brings in $400,000+ on a fee-for-service side. I'd want to know what the cost is of this versus I'd want to know what this. That's me as a manager.
But fire doesn't bring in revenue, so that's not going to make any difference.
It's me at, what's that?
Fire doesn't bring in any revenue, so they're not going to, so what difference does it make? I mean,
it makes a difference in how I allocate costs and how I also represent myself to the community and the residents. In that, here I am looking at every dollar, I look at where it goes, and I validate where it's been. And we're having a lot of greater costs to provide putting out 10 fires and doing this versus running EMS, doing maybe community paramedicine, maybe whatever. I don't care how they run their budget. Or how they run their accounting processes, as long as they can substantiate why they do it and they hold themselves accountable to it, which there's never been any accountability that I've watched in the budgetary or in the expenditure process so far.
So we can add to our recommendations. We've got in the verbiage that Mark and I had worked on, and I think you may have incorporated part of this too. We said that the said metrics must be reported to the community on an annual basis. Do we want to include that part of that report to the community include financial data with regard to the consolidation? I mean, is there something there just to reiterate that a report back to the community? It's not that the community also has to attend another meeting and try to hope that they catch a budget discussion. That whatever reporting we do back to the community on outcomes includes the financial status of the consolidation.
Right, and I incorporated that into this, a formal presentation of metrics should be presented annually to the community.
Should just include some discussion of
financial. And I did the metrics as they should include financial, operational, and I also, if you look at it, I put in that capital planning needs to be a five-year project and is budgeted and funded each year, because I tried to catch a lot of these things that were, and I have some more that I just didn't get done, but I will. Listen, we're not arguing about.
I know.
It should be a single entity. I believe that if I was a manager and it was Norman, and probably Norman will know what money goes to what aspect, whether it's kept through my leaning group or whether it's kept, you know, at the front line. But they should have metrics that measures their performance against their financial expenditures. And they should make decisions, and I have it somewhere in this one I put in, that they make decisions based off of clear objective measurements and so forth to include finance and so forth. So,
yeah. I'm gonna check with Chiefs at Skadden and Bellingham tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting to
see what they're doing.
Yeah. How they track.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Because I think, I've decided fire is just a loss and it doesn't generate any revenue, so we're going to drop that business because, damn, it's just a loser. And if that's the decision you're looking for, I don't think it's going to play out well. I just don't think you can cut the money loser. You know, okay?
I'll tell you what, that damn fire's always been.
Can you those fire guys, they just suck it up. And those rings are so damn expensive. We can get two ambulances for the price of that pumper, so I'm going to stop buying. Pumpers.
Now we get four ambulances for the price of that pumper.
I don't know, after three structural fires in 7 days.
I think Norv maybe something of a problem because since he's been here,
we've gone to him. You're very effective.
This is like a new record.
He was on service in 1 minute.
Oh, yeah.
And we have seven.
We still lost the structure.
Propane tank?
200 gallons.
Yeah, right. There was a lot of reasons why that came.
Yeah, that was a bad event.
In the evening I went. So the only thing I would add to your on your metrics stuff is I think we need to be more specific. I mean, I think that...
We do. Yes, I agree. I absolutely agree. So now the document's up there, we can all start that.
Yes, we can hack away.
Chuck and I threw a few in there because I think there's some easy ones they can get right now.
I do. Yes. So. And I thought that we do that in line item. So, okay. Yeah.
And after meeting with Katie Holstein, do we want to put not only report those metrics annually to the community, but WEFCIS?
Absolutely, WEFCIS needs to get that stuff.
Add that. Sure.
We should put that in
a regulatory requirement, though.
They are your ones. It's not regulatory. Is it?
Who does?
Seven Island EMS.
Are they doing it already?
Yep. Yeah, I think it is a mandated.
We can keep it. Do we need to add it?
Well, no, it isn't. It's optional. It's a recommendation, but it's not. It's not a requirement, and we should maybe emphasize that it should be done.
Yeah, we could do that. Absolutely. Yeah.
How is it going to work if you go to fire district levy lift? At what point does the hospital district have to retire its EMS levy because there's no formal definition of a new EMS operation under the fire district?
Well, since what you're saying is there isn't a new EMS levy to replace the old levy, it's just a lid lift, they could actually keep running the EMS levy, for example, after the lid lift,
if they don't shut it down.
Yeah, if the fire district is successful at getting their lid lift, there's not a legal requirement that the hospital district stop taking the EMS levy.
And that's where the voters come.
But I think we need to make that. I put together that, somehow.
You said EMS levy take to a $0 value.
Yeah, no, that's what we said they should do, but yeah. I'm not sure if we have explicitly said that as soon as the lid lift takes effect for the fire district, that happens, $0
value. Well, I can put that in.
Yeah, then we should absolutely.
Is it?
Maybe not in the chapter one, but it's definitely in there in the levies chapter.
I don't think it's in chapter one, but you're right. We did talk about that under levies.
Yeah. Well, this goes back. It's in Rick's document. It's in not in his recommendation. It's in the implementation considerations. So the question becomes, is that appropriate in that spot?
Yeah.
Right.
So if it is, then he's got it.
As long as he
can add some more language.
It needs to be in there.
Yeah.
Well, what's in there is that the EMS levy goes to zero.
Right.
What's not in there is that as soon as the fire district lid lift takes effect, the hospital district needs to stop taking the EMS levy. I think that's what Karen is getting at. And I think that verbiage can go in there just fine.
Yeah.
Because you're right, legally they could just keep paying the bond on the
A lot of people.
Which I'm not saying they would, mind you, but
a lot of people will only read that one chapter, so
I know. That's why it needs to have some of the
you should say strongest language. But you just don't have to support everything, but you should say everything and then refer people to later chapters if they want
to. Right, and that's another thing.
You have to be very careful that the later chapters support what you've said in the
first. Well, that's the next week's challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, when you read that, will you put reference chapter 6.3 on?
Yeah, and we'll have to highlight those until we know the numbers.
Okay.
Because we've done that through the other documents. Well, it's been pretty consistent.
I've been keeping all the reference, internal references highlighted.
Yeah.
And if you see those, please don't remove those, because that's...
Pick another number.
To help me when I'm putting this together, make sure I number everything.
Wait, you said don't? Don't remove. Oh!
Well, Chuck over there busy deleting outlines.
I'm like, oh my God, let me put that back. Oh my God, it's not coming back. Hey, Nathan. Problem. Hey, Nathan. Really? Going down. Going down.
Really, Chuck?
I should have to do a quick cut and paste on something, I think.
Fortunately, you have it all backed up, I realize.
Oh, yeah. It saves every possible iteration.
I know. If you look at all of it, it's pretty messy.
Yeah. And you guys have been tracking comments. You don't really need to do that. You can just, at the top where it says last edited by, if you click that, you can see all the revisions from the dawn of time.
Yep.
So. That, and it, it, and the reason why on a lot of the chapters, like when George and I have been collaborating, or Chuck and I, you know, the advantage to keeping that comments column clear is that when you do have a real question, you can post a question there. People can see it.
Well, the good thing is if you put something there and you have, is to resolve it so it goes away.
Yeah.
You know, if you agree, oh yeah, that's a good idea, and do it, then you can resolve the comment, and you don't need to be bothered with it anymore.
I know you're having a hard time on that first chapter because you're all trying not to step on each other, but, you know, mostly you guys agree, and if you input the changes you want, and then and there's a question, just highlight it, click comment, and say, you know, do you guys agree? People will respond, say they do or don't. So. Because we don't have, as has been mentioned before, there's not a whole lot of time left.
Right, we don't have time to go back and forth on, does everybody approve this change or something?
Yeah, does everyone approve the deletion of this letter A? Is it not?
Yeah. Or if you correct a grammar or a spelling thing or something, there's no real need to.
If you're changing something of substance, you should definitely mark it as, you know, please comment. But if it's something...
I don't know. I found that's a good way to get my way.
Just very...
I like what he said, so I'm just going to delete it right there. My approach is now in there.
It's a great program, though. I never really used Google Docs that much until this time.
For this kind of collaboration, it's a really good
wonderful
tool.
Yeah.
All right. Except for Rick.
So, Rick, are you going to take what Nathan put in there? Are you going to move that to chapter one, reformat like we talked about, or do you want one of us to do that? What's your preference? Because, I mean, this is the key that we need to make this happen. And what I heard is it's got to be by Sunday.
Yeah. Sooner would be better because all of us are going to want to read it.
So do we... Do we want this format and move that into this, or this?
Well, I'm thinking you're going to take and you're going to cut and paste this, and you're going to put it right over. I mean, it's going to replace this.
Do we want the background in the recommendations?
If you guys get this to me by next weekend, it'll be fine.
Well, that's the point.
We need a week.
Don't do that, Nathan.
Yeah, don't say that.
That's like the hard deadline for me.
No, don't say that. We're going to get this done by Sunday at midnight.
So I struggle a little bit with the backgrounds issue because the recommendation piece is really the main point.
Yeah, I didn't see the reason to put background into... That's why I didn't put it in.
I'm okay with that. I mean, we can just take this and put it in there. This background.
Well, put it under CAG process.
It has to be CAG process.
Yeah, move background to CAG process, and I think you've solved the problem. Because it's still there. It's good stuff. It just doesn't need to be in the recommendations.
And it's a much cleaner recommendations page.
It
strengthens the recommendations.
That's been there. I'm not sure who even wrote it.
Oh, it just came up at some point.
Somebody did a nice job writing it.
I think it was early on when we tried to capture.
He was just practicing.
I think
learning how to use Google Docs or something.
I can try without going, oh, maybe.